be turning in your Bible to the book of Genesis, chapter 15, if you will, please. And as you're turning there, and I'm getting everything hopefully on, let me just first of all say thanks to you who've been so gracious to give us this wonderful place to rest and sleep. And all the good food that you fed us. I often said it'd be hard to be a little preacher and live around here. And you fed us so good. Had such a sweet time. I want to say to you, dear pastor, thank you, Brother Allen, for letting me be here again. It's been a good while since I've been here. And I'm grateful to be back with you. Brother Allen comes up and helps us in our camp meeting. He's a multiple talented fella that God has given us in our fellowship. And I'm thankful for him. I was sitting close to a dear lady that I'd never seen before yesterday, and she turned around and said, "Are you a preacher?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "You look like a preacher." Amen. And I thought, And I looked over there at Brother Doyle Williams, and I thought, "Help me, Jesus." I glanced across, and there was Brother Jason Hutzel with that unique hairdo. The chrome dome shining. Lord, I don't know if I'm a preacher or not. If we're basing it on looks, I've not made it. And I watched Brother Howard play that piano and going, "I don't know if I'm a preacher or not." So I concede tonight today and conclude this by saying that there's a calling. And the God that makes the calling looks on the heart. Sometimes he picks the little David and ordains a stone and say, "I want you to bring the Goliath down." And for the life of me, I've never, in honesty, Brother Dick, figured out why God called me to preach. Don't have a clue. But I've tried to obey. Brother Mike, am I on? Am I set everywhere? Okay. All right. Would you stand to respect the Word of God this morning, chapter 15? I only got to hear a portion of the message Sunday night, but my, that guy was shelling the corn down when we got here. We both, Craig and I, wish we could have heard the whole message. And then yesterday, the man of God gave a message, not a sermon.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
Don't you agree with it? We've got just a little window of opportunity here. In America.
Yes.
Brother Clark's set us to heavenly last night.
Yes.
Identified with it and wept. Yes. See a dear old mother, Brother Clark, still waving us on.
Yes.
I don't know, but what may be in heaven, she may have leaned over to an angel and said, "That's my boy. That I gave to the service of the Lord. Promised God if he'd let me live till he was 7. And he would be all right." That's the only thing God didn't honor in her prayer. But God let my mother live to raise me. And I'm his. Now then, if you found the book of Genesis, chapter 15, let's begin reading at verse 1. "After these things." When the Bible says that, you ought to look to see what those things are. Abram has just met with Melchizedek. He's paid his tithes. They've had communion. They've recognized Jesus Christ as Lord, even there. Then he's just met with the king of Sodom. The king of Sodom wants persons. Picture perversion back there. And Abraham is not about to let the wicked say, I made Abraham rich. Because I'm the servant of the Most High. We're going to glorify Him. And then he comes to this, and he says, after these things, the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield. And thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless and disturbed of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine hour, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look down toward heaven. Done it a lot of times, haven't you? If you can tell the stars, Abram. If thou be able to number them, and he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I'm the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me, a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he did tuck unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. And the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. And they shall afflict them 400 years, prophesying of the Egyptian bondage of the children of Israel. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. That's why we got to be in the favor of God, so God will judge our enemies. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. The reason the rapture of the church has not occurred? Well, there's the answer. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. And the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram. Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Keeping the sacrifice on the altar. Hang upon the word keeping. Keeping the sacrifice on the altar. Father, thank you for this privilege. Thank you that I've got to hear the songs of Zion and the sweet harmony of the voices sent from heaven. God, thank you today that I've got to hear the old bell rung again. As Brother Craig and Brother Clark clanged it loud. Lord, I've come to this hour that I've given myself to you. And I'm praying, Father, that you would use me to whatever heaven's intention is for this service. And I want you to be lifted up and be given praise and honor and glory. Matters not if anyone remembers my name today. But God, what we must remember most is you, and keep the sacrifice before you. Have your way in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Keeping the sacrifice on the altar. You've longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and earnestly, fervently prayed, but you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. I know some things my God likes. And one of the things that God honors and God likes is sacrifice. We know not much of that in this hour of us giving to God. Brother Duke, we know a tremendous amount about God's going to give you. But I know some things my God likes this morning. And He still honors sacrifice. He still honors commitment. He still honors steadfastness. Paul said, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies living sacrifices. And we think we've done God a service today because we're here in church at 10 o'clock. Paul said, I have all in abound. I'm full. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which are sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And then he goes right on to say, but my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. And we're afraid of sacrifice when He said, I know something God likes. I know something well-pleasing to Him. It's a sacrifice given to Him. I've already been to church once this morning, setting my brother J.C. I don't know if he could feel it or see it happening to me. But you see, I was saved under an old-fashioned mountain preacher from Crow Mountain by the name of Tom Bashir. Man, he was so anointed, so full of the power of God. I can still hear him say, well, glory, and heaven would settle down. But there's a lot about Tommy you don't know. Like, for instance, standing up at a quarterly meeting and said, is there anybody that could give me a tar? I pawned mine. I sold it to get to the next revival. Has anybody got a tar? And he said, it really didn't have to be that size. Dear God, as a young preacher boy, wanting to do all I could in the ministry. Tommy preached a revival when I was preaching at the little church at Greenland. And I was humble and meant well about it. I said, Brother Tommy, how much do you need to stay on the road? I was going to take him, but all I was going to make a plea for him, Brother Craig. And that man of God snapped at me and he said, oh, say, son, if I don't get it here, God will give it to me down yonder. Well, that's a long ways from the ministry in this hour, isn't it? But that old man of God, yeah, I know that churches had to put him away, Brother Allen. And that old man of God had been a full-time evangelist when Free Will Baptist wouldn't even support a pastor full-time. But I just know that God saw something. And he recognized the sacrifice of that man. You ought to see what he's got in heaven today, friend. You ought to see the reward that was given to that man of God at that time. I want to tell you that when Christianity has lost the element of sacrifice, it has lost its effectiveness. The early church was not only willing to live for him, but they were willing to die for him. They were willing to give everything. A Russian general said this. When Russia, Brother Jeremy was having a bout with the Taliban, he said, "You can't defeat men that are not afraid to die."
That's right. That's right. That's it.
You can never defeat Christianity as long as the element of sacrifice is there. But my friend, let me tell you, when we reach the hour that we take the world philosophy of what's in it for me, we lost the effectiveness of the gospel. I've come to deplore these guys saying, "Well, I just tell them start shooting." I don't believe that nonsense. You're blowing steam. Let me tell you, when a man won't be faithful to church, don't tell me you're going to be faithful to death. When an individual will not be faithful to tithe, to witness, to stay in the old book and on his knees, you're not ready to make a full commitment. Well, I'll get committed to that moment. No, you won't, when they got a 357 in your mind. And I want to tell you, there was a time that the church required lordship. Salvation in people's lives. Pastor, before they would let them be members, they had to prove that Jesus Christ was Lord of their life and that they were submitted to Him and they were willing to sacrifice for the gospel. We seek to save a life and wind up losing our lives. There's some precious jewels of little children here. Listen to an old gray-headed man. The most colossal mistake you'll ever make is not to give your children up on the altar for God. I must admit I've made mistakes. My kids are talented, and I would love to just kept them around me and used in my ministry. Would have been better that they be in the other side of the world today preaching the gospel. As for me selfishly to say, I wish you'd help Dad. And you listen to me. Discover with Abraham that which is offered upon the altar of God is not lost and cannot be lost for sure. I believe that there's an answer. In the text today, why there is no victory. The simple truth of it is, there's nothing upon the altar. And the fire of God never falls on an empty altar. There must be something on it if heaven's going to come down and consume it. He never blesses the altar until there's something on it.
That's right. That's right.
The little boy went to church with Granny. God moved in that service. People fell on the altar and began to weep and pray and cry. Some of you will remember when those dear ladies, those saints of God, would shout like this.
Yeah.
Remember that? Take a hanky, go to shouting and go to waving the air and go to crying. And the little boy couldn't understand this. And preacher, going home, he said, "Benny, what was all of that about, them people doing that around the altar up there? Them people crying and shouting." And she said, Oh, son, there's been victory on the altar today. You know why? There was shouting. There was something laid on the altar, and heaven had come down and consumed it. God in His power had showed the earth. First thing I want to tell you tonight, rather today, the will of God involves sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of the Father. I beseech you, Paul said, present your body a living sacrifice. Oh, yes, you long for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed, but you cannot have rest. Did you catch that, Brother Joel? You can't have rest. I tell you, a lot of people could get rid of all the medicines out of the cabinets if they lay something on the altar. Craig Blinds, until I said yes to Jesus Christ, I never had peace. And before you hang me up to try, God began to call me to preach when I was just a kid in high school. Scared me to death. I can write you a book on being poor. My daddy couldn't read. All the time I was home, we never owned a house of our own. We lived, Brother J.C., wherever we could. Not a dime in my pocket. And God began to pick my heart. It's almost everything more than I could take. I'd go in the woods and cry. Always hunted for food on the out of the country. Sat on a log and cried. I don't have a car. I don't have a penny. You look at my clothes, Brother Jed. God, you're making a mistake. God, I can't do it. And I never had a moment's peace. It got so bad, I couldn't play with the other kids at school.
Sure.
I couldn't do anything. I just sat and cried. Something gnawing on me. Back where I couldn't go to church. I said, tore it before I got there. I couldn't stand it. Something just kept eating.
Calling you the altar, sir.
JC, I'd get out in the barn. I said, God, I got to know for sure. It's serious business. I can't make a mistake this. And I'd ask God to do certain things. You think I'm crazy, but God calling you to preach, you'll do some things too, probably. I laid a rope out, curled it up, and said, God, if you want me to preach, straighten it out. Clarksville couldn't have peace. They took me to the doctor, but that wasn't the answer. He just gave me some stuff numb my mind, kind of. And my heart was still big knocked. He need to give me something for down here. And it's the hardest thing in the world. But he used to say, I was called to preach.
Yeah, I know that I was there.
But finally, the call became irresistible.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
And I fell at an old-fashioned altar, laid something on the altar. Derek, there's been a lot of times I'd like to pull it off, wouldn't you? Tuck it home and just raise my family and let those other folks fuss and do whatever they want to do.
Yes.
That's right. They kept laying it on the altar. I don't regret it. What you say last night, it'll be worth it all.
Yes.
My old dad's in heaven. His mind wore out, Brother Dole. He'd been so active, working in the log woods, coon hunting every night. And his body stayed strong, but his mind wore out. And I got him. My sis was taking care of him. They died in my sister's home, both he and Mom. And I got Dad out one day. He said, I want you to take Dad to his old friends. I want you to show him your horses. So I tuck him and I harnessed the horse and the mule and plowed my garden. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Tuck him to see his old friend that he'd logged with. And Brother Derek, something was wrong with Daddy. And as the day wore on, his mind would get...
Yes, sir.
And he started talking. And he revealed things that I didn't know. And I saw that he shifted into another man. You know what I'm talking about? People's mind. They go into another person, kind of. And I thought, I'm going to try it out. I said, now you got a son that's a preacher, don't you? And I got an older brother, Assembly of God preacher, Billy, tremendous man of God. Brother Clark knows him, Brother Derek, a few of you met my brother Billy, sweet fella. Oh, yeah, I do. He's a good preacher, too. I can see the pride come out. Oh, he's a good preacher. But I wasn't wanting to know about Billy. I said, do you have another boy that was a preacher, mister? And he said, yeah. And listen to this, Mike. But I never got to be around him much. He said, the Lord called him to preach when he's a boy. And he left us.
Wow.
And I never got to be around him much. I didn't know. He never once said, don't go, son.
No.
Back when God told me to preach, he took my spotted horse and bought me an old $200 54 Chevy. Done the best he could and said, go, son, go. I never dreamed that him and Mom was sitting at home. Said, I wish I could see my boy. Wonder where he's at tonight. Wonder where he's preaching. But there was a call came that involved a sacrifice. And God said, lay on the altar, Lonnie. Lay on the altar. Sunday, Jerry, now that we all see that little man again, we'll take up where we didn't get to be together in, spend eternity together, and we'll be glad we laid it on the altar then, I'll tell you for sure. A sacrifice is involved. Abraham, I want you to take me a 3-year-old a 3-year-old ewe and a 3-year-old ram. I want you to take me 2 fowls. And I'm going to show you, Abraham, that I mean what I say about my covenant. Abraham, pick up with me. Is there anybody that grew up around the farm? About everybody here in the South knows a little bit. Let me tell you, a 3-year-old heifer is worth something, buddy. You've got some investment in her. To be honest and understand how I talk, she's probably springing now. You know what I mean, Jeremy?
Yes.
And he's raised her. And she's worth something. God said, hey, I want that one. And I can see Abraham go, woo, and I hear, and here comes a prettiest heifer you ever seen and sticks a head over the fence. It's the best he's got. And I see him slide a little rope around her neck and under her chin and back through it. And I see him call the sheep. And I see a man start down the road with the prettiest heifer he had. Now here's a farmer. Hey, Abe, where are you going today? What are you doing to that little heifer? You're not going to sell that one, are you? And he said, no, I'm not going to sell her. In fact, she's not for sale. What are you going to do with her, Abram? I'm going to kill her. Kill her? Good night, man. That's the best heifer you've got. What do you mean? Hey, what do you take for her, Abram? She's not for sale. In fact, she'll belong to me now.
Yeah.
Did you catch what I said?
Her owner wants her.
Yeah. Her owner, he said, wants her. She belongs to God. Why, Abraham, you're crazy to start giving up stock like that fella. Abraham said, I know what God likes and I know what God said. Come on. And she's walking along behind him. Let me tell you, from what I've read about Abraham, I believe, brother, he's pretty sharp. I believe pretty sharp fella. And he didn't get a little scrawny ram with one horn knocked off.
Amen.
And a knee big as a pumpkin.
Yeah.
He's leading a pretty ram down the road.
Yeah.
And there beside him is a pretty ewe. Take first place in anybody's county fair. What are you doing, Abraham? I'm doing what God called me to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to lay a sacrifice on the altar for God. Now you get this. Abraham kills them, cleans them in half, spreads them out, kills the two fowls. He did not divide them asunder, but he laid them out. I really believe that that's four on each side. That makes eight. You know what eight means? A new beginning. That which is offered upon the altar of God is not lost and cannot be lost. And any civilization you go through, they still call him Father Abraham. How come? Because he wasn't afraid to cleave it, kill it, and lay it on the altar. And keep it on the altar for God. It required sacrifice. 3 years, feeding them every day, watering them every day. But he offered the best that he had. Don't you think it's about time we figured out God's not excited about our scraps? We major in giving God leftovers and scraps. If you have any time left after you've played your games, watched your television program, you might read 3 verses in the Bible and give God what's left. Pray on one knee with a phone in the other, text it. Biggest battle I've ever had, and even today, is submitting to God and being willing to be a sacrifice for God. Abraham knew something about being a sacrifice. Brother Jace, it was leave the Chaldees in your father. He's got no child. He takes that to your lot. Pretty soon, they have to separate. It is to give up Ishmael. It is to lay your best on the altar for God of the stock that you've got. And then this is a series and a step. Pretty soon there's going to be a mountain called Moriah. And God's going to say, take thy son, thine only son. And you know why? That God didn't start at Moriah.
Come on, brother.
He had grown an Abraham from leaving Ur all the way to Moriah, and he's ready then to go. If I had known, and you had known, the sacrifice that would be involved, it would have been overwhelming.
Yes, sir. You're right.
But God in His loving mercy gave us steps, a series of events that led us to Moriah where we can say, me and the lad, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. We'll go back down. But he laid the biggest that he had on the altar. Some of you men sit by me and sit before me today that know what sacrifice is. Brother Jeremy was called to evangelism. was offered a job for $200,000 a year for the key energy company to go to Alaska. You've never seen a day you got close to $200,000, have you, brother? Not a man here has. But when you long for sweet peace, when you long for sweet peace, and you lay that all on the altar and you go home, sometimes it doesn't matter if you've got a penny or you don't have, but to have the hand of God on your life and know that the sacrifice belongs to God, it's Him. No man will lose in that. I must move along. Let me tell you, the will of God involves steadfastness. It's one thing to put something on the altar in this camp meeting, but it's something entirely different to have it on the altar Sunday morning. I want to tell you, though, the fire of God burns the hottest in the center of the altar. Satan's going to try to pull your sacrifice off the altar. What happened when he spread them out? And evening come. The fowls of the air begin to come. That'd be a different sermon. But you won't no more get the sacrifice on the altars and watch out for the buzzards. Some of your family will say, you're getting too fanatical and radical about this Christianity thing.
You're right. Come on.
You just remember, if somebody's kicking you in the seat of the pants, it's because you're in front of them.
That's right. Amen.
That's right. It's generally somebody not doing anything for God.
That's right.
That said, yeah, you're getting too serious about this. Yeah. And the fowls of the air come to take the sacrifice off the altar. I want to tell you, to keep a sacrifice on the altar of God, it takes diligent and constant care. I've seen a lot of fowls in my eyes. We call them buzzards up home, Brother Newt. They're always looking for something. I've seen the fowls swarm in on that old book. I've seen them swarm in on that old King James, haven't you?
Yes,
I've seen them swarm in on the standard and say, you don't got to live like that. I've seen them swarm in on anything against righteousness, haven't you? But Abraham had a cure for that. You know what he done? Do you watch this? Get out of there. That belongs to God. This is on the altar for God. Get out of there. Get away from it. Get away from it. And you listen to what I'm saying to you. You get up on the altar. Is that stay out of it? You know what will happen? The old enemy will send the fowl and start scooting you out of the center of the will of God. My wife's not here. Thank you, ladies. A lot of you kind ladies have asked about Connie. She's okay. Taking care of the granddaughter this morning. Taking care of things around church. You people as preachers, you understand that. Called in for the prayer request last night. She said this, Brother Jerry. God would have used you a lot more than He has if you didn't love so many things.
That's true. That's true.
That's right. J.C., the world say me and you are crazy love to hear a dog tree.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it? That's right.
Go to.
People say you're crazy to feed them old horses. And I'm a guy just, I'm a country boy and I love things, Dole. And you say, there's nothing wrong with a dog or a horse, no. Unless it slides you out of the center, Brother Clark, of the heat of the altar.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with you making a good living, mister. Unless it pulls you out of the fire of God.
That's right.
That's right.
You're right.
What are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you that what we have to continually watch is nothing moves the sacrifice.
Right.
That we remember that we are committed to Him. That we belong to Him.
Amen.
And it doesn't take much scooting till you begin to lose the peace out of your heart.
Sure.
and feel that old frustration and feel that old self beginning to move in your life. Take that flesh hook. I could call that faith, hope, and charity. And you pick it up and put it on the altar. Don't touch it. If it falls on the ground, don't use it. Boy, you say God's serious about this, isn't he? You better know God's serious about our sacrifice and about our commitment to him. Some of us commit a sin we never even think about. You find it in Acts chapter 5. I pronounce it parsimony. What is it, preacher? Taking back. Taking back what we've already offered to God. When I preach to you today, you listen to this guy. Some of you said, God, if you'll just save me, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Some of you said, God, if you'll heal this body, that lump comes back. And it's benign. Oh, man, I'm already make a servant of God. God, if you just give me this child and it's healthy, we'll have it in the house of God serving you. And we take it off the altar, that which we've already offered to God. It becomes very serious business. Ask Ananias and Sapphira about taking what belonged to God. I'm talking to you about keeping the sacrifice on the altar. I'm going to come to the last point. I got to shut her down. I want to tell you the will of God involves success. You look at verse 12 through 21. Success is a voice at sunset. Abraham's fighting the fowls of the air to keep the sacrifice clean. Walking up and down in the mist, keep them off of it. Lest they pull it off the altar of God. And all at once, God shows up. All at once, God shows up. There's a smoking furnace. You ready? Burning lamp. Oh, my. Israel's going to go into 400 years of bondage. They're going to be through the furnace. But there's going to be a burning lamp. Who's going to be the light of the world come out of that group? That light is going to be a light to the Gentiles. It was a voice at sunset. You may never be giving an award that says you're one of the greatest preachers Louisiana ever had. You may not have a whole lot come by and say, I love you, preacher. Thank you for preaching the word. They may never give you a new suit or give you the keys to a new car. All those things would be nice if you think about it. Do that. Yeah. Amen, Walt. But I want to tell you, if I can just have a voice when it comes to the sudden side of my life.
Yeah. I need to hear that.
If I can just hear him say, well done. Good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things in and now into the joy of the Lord. It'll be worth it all, Brother Clark. Someday that $200,000 will not even be anything, sir. Melt with the fervent heat. But that sacrifice on the altar is eternal.
Yes.
I hope that you'll come to our camp meeting. I'm going to close for that one in just a moment. Because there's going to be a missionary on the schedule that you don't know. His name is Richard Yerby. He was an Alabama farm boy. Daddy was a deacon in a Free Will Baptist church. He was in the military. He had made it to being a pilot flying a bomber. They don't give those jobs to dummies. Amen. They don't entrust them with that kind of responsibility. And he's flying in his maneuvers over Japan. And he's praying, God, send preachers and missionaries. Send teachers to these heathen people. And God said, Richard, I want you to stay. I want you to preach to them. Now, it's easy for me to volunteer Brother John or Brother JC. But when God says, I want you, that's a different story. But that man resigned his position with the Marine Corps, took his retirement that he'd built up, and began to learn their language and preach and teach on the streets of Japan. He never married, never had a wife. Would have loved to. He'd come here, he'd start playing with Jason's boys. He loves kids. Always wanted to be a farmer, never got to farm. He used up his pension in a little while, and God wouldn't let him go home. Now, don't think wrong. He went around to grocery store dumpsters where they would dump their fruit. And he'd find an apple that still had some good in it. And he'd take his pocket knife and he'd cut that rotten part out. And he'd eat the rest. Find a banana still partly good. And he said, God spoke from heaven and he said, these Japanese people need the bread of heaven a lot more than you need the bread of life. Wow. Went with no support. Free Will Baptist offered him a job. He sought God, and God said, no. I want you to live by faith. I want you to preach on the streets, suburbs, classrooms, teaching them English and wherever. People said, Richard, you're throwing your life away. He stood up before our kids and said, kid, I want to tell you to throw your life away.
Amen.
Just throw it away, kids. He figured out a way. He's sharp. Man, he's a brilliant guy. That he could take used license plates from America and sell them for a great price in Japan. And motorcycle license. Challenge your kids, get up every old license plate you can, bring them with you. And he buys Bibles and books and such and gives to those Japanese. That's how he's made a lot of his substance over the year. He's got a mission work, and God's still blessing. But Craig, you remember he had an aneurysm and he nearly died. No family there. Another missionary took him to the hospital. He comes every other year and stays a month to 6 weeks with my wife and I try to help him get his itinerant and places to preach. And I grow big gardens, or used to a lot more even than I do now. And I tuck him with me. He comes home, he'll just go to work for me. I ain't got nothing to do. He'll walk the streets heading out tracks. And I saw the effects of it, Craig. He's standing out there, and I was plowing the bottom. And I see him going. And he had a four-way look. Dang, it broke my heart. I live in a parsonage. It's plenty nice for me and Connie. We got an old place out in the country. And it broke my heart for the man of God. I said, Brother Richard, if you'll stay, I'll cut the wood and haul it to you. I'll pay you utilities and you can live at our house free. You just come help me in the church, whatever you want to. Whatever. And this man has had this great big scar down through here now. You get this, Brother JC. I thank you, Brother Burks, is the way he talks. I thank you much. But I'm going to die in Japan, Brother Burks.
Amen.
That's keeping the sacrifice on the altar.
Yeah.
I've died there. I could have said, there's nobody to take care of you, Richard. What if you have a stroke from this aneurysm? Come in, I and our church take care of you. I'll die there, Brother Burks. Die there. He told me this story, Brother Jeremy. Some other missionaries wrote him a letter and said, Richard, we're coming to see you. He's got just a little old wire house rented. He can't have folks come stay with him because he sleeps on the floor on a mat. Yeah, you listen to me. If you give him $1 million, he'll spend it on the gospel. We're going to come and see you, Richard, and stay a few days with you. And brother, he said, I didn't have a thing in the house to feed him. And I didn't have a penny in my pocket. He said, I got on my knees.
Come on, man.
And said, God, them folks said they're coming. You know, I ain't got a thing in the house and give you everything I've got. And he said, God spoke from heaven. And he said, I lifted up my eyes and God said, you haven't given it all, Richard. And he said, I looked up and on the wall hung my leather flight jacket that he'd earned. United States of America, Marine Corps, all of these things hanging. He said, you ain't gave it all, Richard. He said, I got up and got that leather coat, took it to the streets, and found a Japanese man that'd pay for it. I went and bought groceries and fed others. God said, lay a sacrifice on the altar and we won't even lay sweat on it. Some men have had to give their back to the stripes. Give up their homes, their family. We think we're doing God a favor because we'll come to church at 11 o'clock on Sunday and sing from a hymn book and give $10 that heaven is so proud of us. God said, Abraham, give me the best. And I'll give you my best. You give me the big things and you'll see how big I am, Abraham. Your seed will be more than the stars of heaven. You give me the little things too. And my God will supply all your needs according to your riches in glory. We have a difficult time of keeping the sacrifice on the altar. A very difficult.
Yes.
And you be certain that the enemy works constantly to pull us off the altar. Amber, Grant, can you just sing a cappella this old song? I got the words right here. You remember it? Is y'all on the altar? Come on, sister. Let some of that harmony from heaven come. Is you're all on the altar? That's the way I'm going to make the invitation. Is you're all on the altar? But I want to tell you right now. Yeah, we're good at it. We're good at it. Taking it back. I don't want to be a man. I don't want to be used. I believe I'll go do this for a while.
Yeah.
I sure like to do this, Lord. How much God got of you, Brother Jerry? How much God got of you? Brother Royce, long time since I've seen you. How much God got of you? Brother Steve. How much God really got of you? How much has God got of me?